Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 48. It's hard to believe. We took last week off. It was funny because everybody wanted to watch the hockey game. So sorry if you were waiting for last week's. It didn't happen.
Everybody but Adam, because he hates sports.
Yeah. Well, Adam, it was good. It was going to be me and Adam. Oh, and Donnie showed up, yeah. And I'm like, everybody went home.
I lost faith after game three. So.
Oh, okay. See, I had hope. And actually, that was the good one. That was the 10-3.
Yeah, that one.
But so we're back, and it's actually kind of good because last week I thought there was a lot of really exceptional books, and really couldn't talk about them last week because nobody had read them. So we'll talk about them. We had some people went to the Pittsburgh Comic Con, so I thought it'd be fun to hear from them, and then some other stuff if we have time. So I guess we'll introduce ourselves. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. To my left,
Joe F.
Donnie
Adam Iris.
Yes.
Adam Russell.
Ryan Sargent.
Jeremy Dan.
Matt Lytle.
And calling in from Cleveland.
Harvey Pekar's Cleveland.
Oh.
Sorry, Nick Burley.
Okay. Well, I guess the main book I want to talk about is the start of Night of the Owls and Batman number 8.
Just read.
I didn't know where it was going. I knew they had everything set up, but I was very pleased with how it all came together. I read Nightwing before, because I think Nightwing said Prelude, and then Batman said starts here, but you really should have read them in the other order. Mm-hmm. But
shouldn't have even said Prelude.
No, it shouldn't have. Well, I guess, yeah.
But it came out before Batman, didn't it?
Yeah, but no, it's the same day, so I didn't know what order to read them in. Yeah, but I just thought that was a good story, continuing the Batman story, but definitely set apart from the rest of the Batman stuff. It's Bruce Wayne, no armor, no gadgets, no nothing.
You kind of paused on Wayne.
I'm sorry. But it was just kind of fun, and I enjoyed what Alfred did with the penny.
Yep.
So I thought that was very cool.
It's penny worth.
Yes, that was very. It was very more. I'm not going to tell you. Yeah. See. But yeah, I thought that was very Morrison-esque, using the penny.
Indeed.
But yeah, it definitely leads to. And then if you read Nightwing as well, it definitely leads to a how are they going to stop these guys kind of problem.
Was the penny scratched? You have scratches all over the face.
I'll check it out.
You mean like Two-Face's penny?
I don't know.
It's not from Two-Face. That's not where the penny came from.
No.
That'd be far too hard to flip.
Joker, technically.
Yes.
Isn't it?
That,
no, it was a Silver Age story from like the 50s. It was like a one-off villain.
That's not what I mean. And just recently in Batman Rip, Two-Face breaks into the Batcave. When Dick Grayson is in
R.I.P. It was after. Rip. Oh, yeah. It was Judd Winnick's run directly after Rip. Yeah.
He scratched up the face of it.
Oh, sorry.
It has no scratches.
Huh.
New 52.
Well, come on. Alfred polished it. What do you think?
True.
About
he
say,
yeah. polished he bottled the heck out of that.
That was some scratch.
Yeah. But I just read it when I got in.
Another New 52 casualty.
Yeah, the
scratch penny.
Probably a Greg Capullo casual.
That could be, yeah, with him not supposed to scratch the penny. What?
Tis but a scratch.
Well, he hasn't read a comic since.
One of my favorite parts in this issue was right after the penny, with Talon. He says, "You're breaking my arm," and Bruce just says, "Correct."
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Wonderful observation skills. Excellent. Moving on. Yeah, I just read it when I got in because I didn't get my books last week, so I've been waiting. I've been avoiding the internet. Not wanting to know anything about it, even though
how can you avoid the internet?
Not that nothing huge happened in this issue, but I mean, it wasn't like issue 5 or whatever crazy issue was.
Right.
Yeah, but it was good. I like that Bruce still has his cool little contact from the first issue, mm-hmm. where he has his little computer system that just appears in his field of vision. There was a minute where I thought Bruce had killed one of the Talons, but then I remembered that they're not technically alive.
Right.
And I was like, all right, I guess. That makes sense. But he was on the roof with the weather vane.
And, yeah, because that came in.
It was issue 7 that.
It was in either this one or Nightwing where somebody's trying to get a beat on him and they're like, there's no heartbeat, there's no heat.
I think Alfred
something
mentions
like that.
Yeah,
okay.
He says that there's something wrong with the heartbeats. He's trying to help Bruce figure out where they're all at.
He's right.
Like, there's something wrong. Yeah, I can't find them. And
yeah.
So.
That was kind of neat with the little safe room and the bat armor. Although people saying it looks like RoboCop, it's like.
Or, I thought he looked more like Iron Man.
Yeah, or the Dark Knight Returns armor.
Yeah, that he had. Just get out of my house.
But I also kind of enjoyed the little backup story with Rafael Albuquerque, who does American Vampire with him. Ooh, so that was neat.
Could he take over the primary art duties?
Well, you don't like
Capullo? You don't like Capullo?
No,
oh, so I like Capullo.
I think it's good.
Don't you think you're being unnecessarily argumentative? Greg Capullo is flawless.
Sure, Joe.
Flawless artwork.
It's an acquired taste. It's a lot more cartoony than I thought it was going to be, because I'd never really been seen Capullo's art before he came on Batman.
He's improved tremendously.
Wait till you see his cover in here.
Well, not even Spawn. He started out with Marvel. He followed Rob Liefeld on X-Force.
Wow.
He did that?
Wow.
Sunshine.
He started on X-Force. It was like a hybrid Kubert Liefeld kind of thing.
Okay.
And then he went and did Spawn, which was kind of a McFarlane-esque. Although I was reading his tweets... And he mentioned that, McFarlane inking you is going to make you look like McFarlane. You
know,
I think that has more to do with me not liking him than his art. He just seems like a total jerk in Twitter.
He does, yeah. He comes
seems
across.
Like a very arrogant
prick.
More benefits of me not using Twitter than I guess.
Yeah, like, he's one of those guys, I want to follow him because I want to see some of the Batman stuff, but I can't stand him.
He's like a gym rat with, like, a shaved head.
Yeah,
you mentioned that, or Matt mentioned that, like, his studio, it's one of you just mentioned the other week that his studio is basically just weight machines and an art board.
Yeah, I think I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Gonna get pumped and draw some Batman.
And then, continuing on into Nightwing, I did a little weird because I had missed the last couple issues of Nightwing, so I read them all together. So it's a little bit of a blur for me, just separating what was in what issue.
Yeah.
But I really liked how that wrapped up. I thought that was really neat, where Dick was originally supposed to be a Talon.
I think that's a cool twist.
I thought that was a very cool twist. And that the guy that was fighting him, you know, spoilers, but the guy that had been fighting him the whole time was actually selected because Dick or Bruce adopted him and took him away before they could get him. I thought that was pretty
interesting.
Cool.
I didn't stick with Nightwing. I wanted to like it, but I just didn't like the first couple issues.
It was good. I'd jump back on because it's Kyle Higgins who did Gates of Gotham.
Yeah, but something seemed different about it. No, I don't know. I'll have to check it out. I might check out these new issues.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, okay. I did like the idea that his, from the last issue, that his great-grandfather was the original Talon that Bruce had been fighting.
Right. I don't know if the original, but one of
them. Well,
yeah.
Well, I guess the original,
he means
two
original
of the story.
The first
right,
one
right, from the first arc,
The first one that had been stalking Bruce, which I thought was really great. And I know, didn't they share that scene in Batman 7 and Nightwing 7?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was really good.
I don't know what came out last week and what came out this week, but I skipped last week. So
I thought Wonder Woman was good.
I thought Wonder Woman was really good with one of those endings where you go,
"Yeah,
okay, how do you get out of this?"
Yeah,
I mean, Azzarello, he'd be doing so much better if he had his own book and his own original idea.
Yeah, I do. I agree. I agree. It would be selling so much better.
Oh wait, he had one that came out today.
It did.
It did?
No, my issue
6
or 7. No,
if he had an original, it'd be selling hundreds of thousands.
No, what Jeremy's referring to is...
Well, I remember people saying that he would do better with his own idea or whatever.
Right, instead of him doing the Rorschach book, he should be doing his own thing. And it's like, okay, he is. And it's selling like 10,000 copies. Yeah.
Yeah.
What book is that? Why?
Spaceman?
It's an Image?
No.
Vertigo.
It's just different for him.
Yeah.
I mean...
I think we're also used to crime books from him.
Yeah.
Right. But this Wonder Woman, I think, has been really good. I'm glad. I think it was Chang back on art?
Yes.
Yeah. So I thought that was really good.
I was kind of surprised he didn't run into Wolverine or...
Yeah, Sabretooth.
Sabretooth or Puck.
Puck. Namor, I think, was in hell for a while. Yeah. I remember that was on a cover. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't run into anybody.
No, none of those guys.
Well, both of them aren't there anymore.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Puck,
yeah.
Puck just
read
walked
out.
Flight,
man.
Somebody left the door open to hell and he just walked out.
Yeah, that's literally how it happened.
Well,
is his dad still down there?
Not the worst comic book explanation I've heard this week.
Which would be like, what, Sabretooth? Yeah, I'm back. Well, I'll explain it later.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
That's the worst.
Yeah, it's a follow-up to that story where he got his head cut off by the blade that made it so it could never be reattached.
It's magnetic. It just sticks back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Brilliant.
Yep.
Hey.
Nick Fury, what's he look like?
Yeah.
Samuel Jackson?
Doesn't he look, because they have the artwork on the next issue up already, doesn't he look like not like Marcus Johnson?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, doesn't he look exactly like Samuel Jackson all of a sudden?
Right, because, you know, of course he would shave his head and grow a goatee.
But even then, I don't buy it. Like, do you think that his consciousness is going to be, like, moved over?
What if they ever meet?
The world will explode.
What if they meet in Spider-Man?
Has anybody read
Spider-Man?
The book?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, no, I don't think the rest of us have.
Red one. I can't wait until there's a crossover with the movie continuity, because that's not far away.
No, it's not.
Everybody, Nate, was on USA Today, man.
Or wait, never mind. The 616
is
the movie
anything in the USA Today anymore?
No.
No. Okay, let's get back to last week's books and not give things away. But Justice League 8 came out.
The Shazam backup was really good.
I thought that was really good, yeah.
Oh, look, Teen Angst. Yay.
Well,
hey,
but I kind of
happened.
It's the best thing Shazam's had going for it in 60 years.
That's what I like to say about books. Nothing happened.
You know, gets him in a book.
It was 10 pages of nothing.
Well, yeah, it's a backup.
It's setting stuff up.
Well, nothing happened
in
the first
part. What do you guys think about that team that they're calling the Justice League?
That book's terrible, and if it wasn't called Justice League, I'd drop it in a heartbeat.
I like them better when they were called, the Super 7?
I liked it when each of the characters acted like, I don't know, any of the characters' names. Like,
yes.
Like when Hal Jordan acted like, I don't know, like Hal Jordan, or Batman acted like Batman. That'd have been cool.
You don't like when Hal Jordan acts like Ryan Reynolds?
No.
You know what gets me is I think you can tell where Johns likes a book, like he has real interest in writing a book, like Aquaman. Because he kills it.
Mention that.
And I think he's writing Justice League because they want a big name on that book. I don't think he's into it. I really don't think he is.
I don't know. I think he might be, but I think he's doing something so radically different that I don't think anyone's going
to
like
it. It's such a hard book to do because they're trying to write this book in this way that we already know these characters and their personalities in the New 52, even though for most of them in their solo titles, you're still really learning what this character is all about in the New 52.
Yep.
So not knowing that, but reading Justice League like you're supposed to know it, it just gets confusing. Like,
even the characters who were supposed to have not been changed, Batman and Hal, they still don't seem like Batman and Hal. They don't even seem like Batman. Well, I'm not reading the Green Lantern book, so I can't comment. But
no, he doesn't act like Hal in the Green Lantern.
But he doesn't.
Which Johns is writing. So.
But I think Batman in Batman books right now is Batman. But I don't think he acts that way in Justice League. I don't think he acts as the way I'd expect Batman to.
He barely says anything.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's the stereotypical Johns Batman. Even when he appeared in the pre-New 52 stuff, like in Green Lantern Rebirth, I just got the impression that Johns doesn't like Batman in general because he always had him being such a jerk. Like, in Rebirth, I can understand, you know, everyone should be mistrustful of Hal Jordan when he comes back and says, I'm a good guy again, because no, you were Parallax. But anytime Johns writes Batman, I feel like it's an excuse for him to just make him come off like a jerk, which makes me wonder how Earth 1's going to come out, but that's different.
There's not a single time in this issue where Batman says anything that isn't a response to Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, he's just a foil.
What?
To Hal Jordan. He's the straight man in the comedy team.
He's the Wolverine to Hal Jordan's Spider-Man from
the
Avengers.
There you go.
I'll buy that.
But I do agree. I don't think Johns has any interest in Batman whatsoever.
No.
If for no other reason than he's been there how long, he's been their number one guy, and he's never expressed any interest in writing Batman.
Yeah. And now we're getting this, you know, Batman Earth 1 book written by Jeff Johns, which I thought was
they probably had to twist his arm to do.
I feel like they might have, yeah.
Otherwise, it probably would have been out by now.
Well, I thought Straczynski was supposed to write that originally, and now I think...
No. Johns was always supposed to do Batman. Straczynski was doing Superman.
Way back. Because
I thought the whole reason Straczynski left Superman and Wonder Woman was to go write Earth 1.
Well, Superman. Yeah. He loved the Superman Earth 1 experience.
Where's Superman Earth 1 Volume 2?
Working on it.
Hey.
I've seen some concept art.
It's been a year, hasn't it?
Yeah, but imagine how long it takes.
More than that, almost a year and a half.
But like 30 pages of story could come out.
It's
a
not
year.
30.
Yeah.
What was in
96? Somewhere between 96 and 120.
But it definitely does feel, after 8 issues, that Justice League seems to exist in its own universe apart from the solo books, which it's never really felt that way before, even though, you know, plausibly it kind of is.
Something that about John's run that I'm noticing is that he keeps referencing things or bringing up things that I think would be more interesting stories in their own right besides what he's doing now.
Right.
You know, like when we talked about issue 7, I talked about how I loved what he did with Steve Trevor and Argus. And, you know, that's a new organization for DC that's never been explored. You know, it's a human, you know, non-meta support team for the Justice League. That sounds awesome. I want to read that book.
I think, too, he would have been better off just, like, keep going from his year one story. The 5-year jump didn't help.
Yeah. I don't think it did. And
it disrupted the momentum he built from the first. Because I really enjoyed the first arc, six issues.
I knew you did. I mean, you're a bigger fan of Super Friends than all of us.
I thought that the first arc was so, like, A to B, like, we know what we're going to get. Yeah, we know what we're going to get. Oh, look, we got there.
Very by the numbers.
It was an episode of Super Friends, which is what I want in my Justice League.
I want Grant Morrison's and Mark Waid's runs of JLA. That's what I want.
Yep.
They basically just get down to big threats nobody could take on their own in ways, you know, in combinations that look like the entire, like, universe could be destroyed and only the Justice League could save it. Yeah. That's what I want. This is all, like, bickering, internal, you know, BS, which works for X-Men really well. But in Justice League, it doesn't work. These are iconic, essentially, gods, you know, hanging out with each other. And if they're bickering, it seems like it just seems cheap.
But haven't the Justice League historically kind of bickered with each other? Like, back to the Jerry Conway days and...
Yeah, I mean, it's to some degree, but for the most part, they spent most of their time either splitting up and taking out things or taking on big, you know, crazy challenges. Like, who are they fighting in this issue of 8?
Some scientist guy who accidentally got transformed into a monster and attacked his ex-wife.
Yeah.
I thought they were fighting Amazo.
That was 7, I'm sorry.
Like, in every Morrison or Waid run, like, there's something happening that's so crazy that you're like, how... Like, they fought God. Remember they fought the angels?
Oh, they did. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they fought, like, worlds of people. Like, it was big. And that's what I want. I want blockbuster big, you know, popcorn, you know, crazy stuff. Or, like, with Waid, it was still like this, you know, with Tower of Babel, it's still a big threat, but it was, like, it was interesting because the internal politics played, you know, that way.
You know what I love about the Justice League versus God? That whole thing came about just because Morrison couldn't use Hawkman.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Create a new winged character, then.
Okay!
Okay, where would he come from? Wait a minute. Was it like Asmodel was like the angel, like the big bad one?
Yes. Well, yeah, he got, like, into, like,
Morrison created his own version of heaven for DC, basically.
That was,
like,
pretty
three
tough
issues, yeah.
But it was, like, based off of, like, Middle Ages, Catholicism, like, old stuff.
Echelon
of
angels.
Yeah, it's
things,
a lot of but, Book of Enoch stuff.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. I do kind of wish the newer Justice League...
Sorry, are they vacuuming the walls?
I think they are.
What the heck?
And I heard someone yelling over the vacuum or into the vacuum or something. I have no idea.
Have you had to babysit for them lately?
No, not lately.
But, I don't know. Yeah, something about this Justice League just isn't right for me. I'll check in on it every once in a while. But, like, I know he's going somewhere with this... You know, the guy in the original backup stories that wrote the book about the Justice League, that's going somewhere. But I don't know if I really care.
I honestly feel like this isn't nearly as bad as Avengers has got, and I still get Avengers, so in Justice League for quite a while.
And maybe it's just that DC doesn't want to have anything too big happen in any of the books because it is a new universe, and it is only supposed to be 5 years since superheroes came about.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it was one of those. He had his first 6-issue story,
yeah,
and then it's like now that they've jumped ahead, he's been, you know, kicking time for a few issues to figure out where he actually wants to go.
Yeah,
maybe they'll have a 0 issue that'll be really good.
Hey, there's an idea.
That's the rumor.
Are you serious?
rumor is that after issue 12. Zero's
after 12.
Yeah, and then 13 will be 2 months after issue 12, not
months. Was anybody reading DC back in the zero issue month last time?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of those zero issues were really cool.
Really good.
Or even introduced Starman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even when they did the year one annuals.
How'd you know?
Year one
annuals. And Primal Force.
Yes.
So what's the point of the zero issues?
Don't know yet.
It's a point one.
Yeah.
This is just all rumor.
Is this point DC's one. Point one?
Think of zero like what? A big point.
Well, the zero issues, though, were all kind of untold stories, not in current. So.
And this will be that, too. I think it's what the rumor is that every issue or every comic has like a bunch of continuity questions that are being built up. Yeah. This is going to flesh it out. Which...
Right, so it's like the origin stuff that we all wish they would have told us that they hadn't told us.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's smart, too, just from, the one-year anniversary of the reboot. Let's flash back even further than we did before, so.
Did anybody read Red Hood?
No.
I did. I'm behind.
Did you hear the word Stephanie Brown mentioned?
Really? In what capacity?
Last week?
Yeah, I think so. Jason Todd made a deal with Tim Drake.
Right. For the
intel. They were trying to get information, I think.
Okay.
And Tim Drake wanted information on... Or no, wait, was it Stephanie Brown? Oh, never mind. I was wishful thinking it was Cassie. Never mind.
Right.
Still. As a character we haven't heard from yet.
Yeah. Nice.
I like her better than most.
You mean other Batgirl. Yes, Cassie...
Cassandra Cain. Or Cassie Cain.
Cassandra Cain.
Yes. Or was it Sandsmark? Maybe it was Sandsmark.
If he said Cassie, I'm thinking he meant Sandsmark.
Yeah, it was Sandsmark. Because it was a Wonder Girl, because he said she was a thief and something.
Oh,
else.
Yeah, never mind. Of course she's a thief.
Well, geez, epic false alarm there.
Yeah.
Just erase that.
What happened to your photographic memory?
Sorry.
I'm like, that's
I'm really wishful thinking for DC books. I'm like, just cherry picking for the words Wally West to show up.
I know, right?
It's not going to happen.
It'll happen. Earth 2, man. That's what I was going to say about Justice League. My favorite thing to come out of Justice League so far is Earth 2, and that hasn't even come out yet, so.
Okay, next, we'll switch companies. AVX 2 came out. What did everybody think?
Better than 1.
That's a ringing endorsement. Wait,
can you refresh our memory that happened in 2?
In 2, Wolverine fought... Well, Wolverine and Spider-Man tried to get Hope. Iron Man.
Right.
Yeah, but, I don't remember.
Well, like, story-wise, it wasn't that great, but it was more well-written.
Yeah, no, it was Jason Aaron. I liked the little captioning that he did.
Yeah, because he did the kind of poetic overtone of what was actually going on, which made it more interesting.
There's more of that in Versus.
Unlike issue 1, which I heard someone say today, he could have written. And
well, but Colin says that about everything.
No.
All right, then.
That's it for AVX. Wow. For the ultimate event in the history of comics. That's
not
much talk.
Bad.
No, I liked it.
Yeah, I'm liking it. I mean, it's
slow
to
build, but you got 12 issues.
And I like Versus, too. I like that.
Versus was fun.
Yeah, it's definitely what they said.
Except
it was
the Avengers won both rounds.
Spoilers!
Oh, right.
Don't
you think it's unfair that the Avengers have like 30,000 people and the X-Men have like 3?
That's not true. More yeah. No more mutants. Okay, moving on. X-Force. I was very disappointed with X-Force previous to this. That whole Captain Britain. I had no clue what was going on through that whole thing. Being not a Captain Britain, not an Excalibur fan. And everybody's like, oh, well, if you read Moore's run. It's like, that's too much.
People at this table that actually understood that story. Already.
Yeah. So,
one of them's in Cleveland.
Yes.
Harvey Pekar's Cleveland.
But I like this one. This one got it back on track.
Yes, I was.
I still don't completely understand why everything happened and what happened, but.
And what?
X-Force.
I mean,
why did Nightcrawler have to do what he had to do to Iceman? I don't understand that.
Why did he have to kill Iceman?
Yes.
That's the whole reason Nightcrawler stayed back, was to take out the AOA people, because of they turned on the rest of the X-Men to stay here. So they joined up with
Okay. But yeah, see, the problem was that was like 8 issues ago.
Right. Like Shiro, Iceman killed him.
Okay.
Sunfire?
Yeah, that
was. Right. But that was a long.
It was a while ago. It's still in the same book. But it's not like the previous arc where you needed to read 20 years ago material.
Right.
But they definitely did say when Nightcrawler. When Jean and Sabretooth were going back, Nightcrawler said, "No, I'm staying here. I'm taking care of the guys that betrayed us." And
okay,
that was literally his whole reason.
Because it just kept going. He's my best friend. Da 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 da. All of a sudden, he's dead. And he's
I think there's more behind that. I think they'll explain the friendship part of it.
But... No, he was on the X-Men. I mean, they were both in the AOA X-Men team. Where that's the only time in comics history where Iceman reached his potential. He could teleport.
Right.
Teleport other people. He had crazy powers.
Okay. Yeah. Which, he was actually one of the cooler characters from there, which...
Him and Sunfire.
Kind of a shame they turned him bad, because it kind of came out of nowhere, but...
Ever since I've read that, the only thing I've read when I've read, like, Iceman-centric issues is this the one where he gets that good? And then...
Yeah.
I like when he turned into Emma Frost. I thought that was
good. It almost happened with the Emma Frost stuff, and it just kind of...
Oh, in the 90s, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Zero Tolerance, you thought it was going to happen again, and...
Yep, they tease it, and even in Wolverine and the X-Men, like...
Yeah. They've been teasing it forever that he, like, you know, if he applied himself, could basically be the most powerful X-Men of all, and he just...
Yeah, him and...
Too much of a slacker.
That's it.
So somebody mentioned, like, while we're talking about X-Men, somebody mentioned on Facebook today that Firestar was in the cartoons before the comics. Is that true?
Yes.
Spider-Man
is amazing friend.
Well, I knew she was amazing friend. But I always just assumed she was an...
I did not know that either.
No
profile.
Nope.
Marvel character. She went from that to New Mutants.
Huh.
A long while later, though. She was early 80s and showed up again in the late 90s.
So she set the stage for Harley Quinn to do the same thing later on,
apparently. And then
Agent Coulson.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Chloe, and then Agent Coulson.
Cole.
You mean cheese.
His name was always Nick Fury.
Just they called him Marcus, just because.
That train wreck Avengers book.
Also, just with X-Force, I'm happy with the art, too. I really I thought that art was definitely back in the theme of...
Who drew that?
I don't know.
Billy Tan.
Oh, my.
Was it Billy Tan?
No, it was somebody else. It was Noda.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was Noda. That's right.
Big fan.
It was Noda.
I am a big fan of Phil Noda, so yes. But yeah.
Well, I could have sketched better than Pacini did. I mean, come on.
Hey, just because he uses a Sharpie.
I like the issue of Batman and Robin.
Yeah, well, we can go back to Batman.
Was that last week?
That was 2 weeks ago, yeah.
What, Greg Pacini?
Oh, to... Batman and Robin?
He did the very last issue of Batman and Robin.
Oh, the first run. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
No, I'm sorry, volume one.
Keep in... God, you're all over the place, man.
Same universe. I'm sorry.
Ryan, you're like the Iceman of this podcast. If you applied yourself, you're better than all of us.
Exactly.
I know.
You're too much of a slacker.
I'll get around to writing those annotations sometime, I promise.
For those of you listening at home, Ryan's going to annotate All-Star Morrison. Superman.
Well, I heard some fans out there liked my glowing review of DC 1 million, so I figured I'd keep up with the Morrison stuff since I do it in my head all the time anyway. So.
You going to Morrison Con?
You know, I would really like to, but I doubt I will.
I would really like to.
Apparently it's in Vegas now. It was going to be at Isotope, and now all of a sudden it's going to be in Vegas.
Got too big for San Francisco.
I'll be in Vegas in 3 weeks.
Nice.
I'm just going to wait.
Wait, when are you going to be there, Nick?
Can't What's out.
Up? When are you going to be there?
May 11th through the 14th, 15th.
All what a coincidence. Matt just bought plane tickets for May 11th through the 14th.
I'll be in San Francisco at that point. I'll be in Vegas May 21st.
Okay. I go for a week every year. This is the only year I'm not going to go that long.
Morrison, Vegas, peyote. Yeah, what could go wrong?
I was just saying, when they said it was moving
Fear
to Vegas,
and loathing
like,
with
well,
Morrison.
That just makes sense. It's more fun in Vegas.
Why don't you go? I mean, Vegas airline tickets are cheap. Ask Colin.
You look into it? I don't know. I might.
Like I go every month now. Okay, and Adam, this one's for you. A softball to Adam. Uh-oh. He's busy putting on his...
Avengers
pin.
Yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man. Bye. Ends of the Earth.
What's your take on this? Because I dropped it.
Oh. You dropped Spider-Man already?
Whoa.
I know, right? That's
strong words.
Like, oh, man.
I've been liking it. My only issue with it, and I, you know, it's kind of a small issue, but It's really a problem with the Avengers was how did they know if Doc Ock had all this elaborate plan of taking out the Avengers with how many Avengers teams and how many Avengers they have? How did he know which ones were going to show up that day just to kill?
Because he's a diabolical master criminal.
And I guess that's how you explain it. That's my only issue with it, but otherwise, the right
spot and said, "Hey, who are you putting in here?"
He called Dan Slott. What characters are you allowed to use this week?
Octopus. My one problem with it, just the art change, I thought was a little dramatic from
the jumping back and forth from Ramos to Caselli.
Yeah,
they're two very different artists.
The other thing I'd like is if. Let the artist do the cover of the book he's doing. Because it was just... Yeah. It was a Caselli cover, so you're assuming it. You open the book, and all of a sudden it's Ramos, which is just very different.
Yeah.
One has regular anatomy, one has cartoon anatomy. Right.
And I do like both of them. Ramos took me a while to get used to. I really like Caselli. I'd never seen his art before, and I thought it was perfect for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It was great art for a Spider-Man book. But I started picking up Ends of the Earth, because I had picked up the first couple trades of... Slots big time. And I like those, and those are really cool, but I guess I just feel like, I don't know, something about it is just, maybe the scale's too big, I'm looking for like more of a down-to-earth
story. Did you read the storyline before Big Time kind of sets up all the Doc Ock stuff?
No, and I'd read about that. That was that was like right after Citizen Osborne or Osborne's...
It was right after the Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Did the Gauntlet.
No, I didn't pick up any of that, but I heard it tied in. I mean, like, I know he's
Doc Ock goes after the baby as well.
Yeah, that's Doc Ock shows up.
Stanley.
That's first.
The baby Stanley.
I think my one problem is he's on the phone with Horizon, and these are, like, the world's smartest people, and they don't recognize his voice.
Yeah.
They're not like, are you Peter
or
Parker
they?
Or Spider-Man? Which one is it?
Like, I like how they have a floating craft. Like, yeah. It's as big as their lab. Why did they just use that? Why did they even get property in New York?
I think that's the thing. After I had read the first couple trades, and then I jumped from there to Ends of the Earth, I didn't read Spider Island or anything in between, but I got the gist that Horizon is kind of becoming this sort of deus ex machina, where every time there's going to be a problem in the book, Peter's going to be like, oh, well, I'll just go back to Horizon in 3 seconds, 3 pages.
I'm actually...
Oh, I thought you said Horizon. I was like, why are they calling it Horizon?
Horizon helpline.
Which I've heard the rumors that it might be going that way.
Can you hear me now?
Actually, of all of the... of Spider-Man right now, I'm not a big fan of Horizon.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't mind it. I don't mind him having a job, and I don't mind him being, like... They're just too big for themselves. Like, it just seems so fake.
You don't like Uatu?
Yeah.
There's a little kid that works in Uatu. Morbius?
He ran off.
That's coming up.
He's done. They're coming up.
In the new previews.
Because I'm kind of interested in that.
Morbius.
Yeah, I'm into that. I just, I don't know. The whole,
with lizard variants on
it. Like, I mean, the guy has so much money. He has a craft that floats around in the ocean. I mean.
Well, they are federal.
Where was that? Did they just have it, like, under the water until they needed it? Like,
it's going to be my new cast.
Flying around the sand or something.
Then again, this is the universe that has, like, helicarriers, so.
Right.
I guess I can let that slide. It's not that big of a deal.
I don't want a helicarrier.
His name was always Nick Fury.
Yeah, it was.
Let it go, man.
Yeah, don't you think you're being unnecessarily argumentative?
Does he have... Wait. No. Does Marcus have the eye patch on the other side, or is it the same side as Nick Fury?
Same side.
Wouldn't it be funny? They screw up everywhere.
That would have been a good plan.
I would have switched them. I would have been like, yeah, it's this guy.
Maybe an ear. He lost an ear instead of his eye.
I just hope they transfer his brain in him. That's all I want.
Yeah. You know what? I think they're setting that up.
What? No, I'm not Lex Luthor. Because
that was my one concern, just with the whole idea of it, was Nick Fury knows everything. And that was always the big thing, is just he knows everything.
And this guy knows nothing.
There's no way this guy could know this
stuff. He's not Nick Fury.
Well, he looks like him, so close enough.
Right, well, he looks like the movie version. So
you automatically know all the information if you look like him.
I hope there's a... they break the fourth wall here, and they... have Samuel.
Put him on a plane with snakes.
Have Samuel L. Jackson cross over with the Marvel 616 universe.
Scrolls on a plane.
He gets like sucked in. And
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. It's like Pleasantville.
Oh yeah.
So did they kill Nick Fury in the book?
No, but he's never seen again.
He disappears. Well, but he's dying.
He was never seen.
Well, he's aging. He's not dying.
Right? Or Secret War.
Well, he's not dying. He's just not
because he used Infinity. He used the last of his Infinity Formula.
Winter Soldier.
Mocking. Oh
no!
Second to last was on.
Oh,
Mocking.
Come on! Yeah, right. The last one Infinity was on. Formula over the place.
Imagine Nick Fury has a refrigerator full of Coke bottles full of Infinity Formula.
Maybe
this
is maybe this was his way of retiring. Finally, he's just like, I'm just going to enjoy my Infinity Formula and move on.
So speaking, Joe, of America's Got Talent, America's Got Powers was fantastic.
Yeah, who read it?
Jonathan Ross.
Jonathan Ross and Brian Hitch.
Oh! I'm so glad you brought this up.
And it was a $2.99 book, and that was a big book. I don't know if it was 40 pages.
It'll be 6 months before issue two.
You know, good point.
They
give you a double size issue up front, so you.
But it's a really cool story of just like how these kids got powers, and now basically they're afraid of them, so they put them in a gladiator type.
Is it televised?
It's a reality show.
Brian Hitch is an artist's artist. He's one of the few artists that borders on fine art as opposed to cartoon art. You know, like all comic art is kind of like a hybridization of cartooning and fine art. But Brian Hitch is like one of the rare few that leans far towards the fine art side.
I like he can't hit a monthly
book. I mean, that is the reason.
Hey, you can't rush art.
Yeah.
Clearly.
I mean, if you ask an artist who their favorite artist is, they're going to be like Brian Hitch.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
I always thought artists were like Jack Kirby.
See, it depends. It depends what camp you're in. Like, the Kirby people will like, you know, Mignola and Alex Toth, people like that.
Right.
But then the other group will like Neil Adams and Jim Lee and your Brian Hitches, who are more about, you know, straight lines, anatomy, that kind of stuff.
You know, Alex
Toth? I really didn't know people liked Brian Hitch.
You don't know who Alex Toth is?
I do not.
Yeah, I know who Alex Toth is.
No, I don't.
Oh, Hanna-Barbera. He designed a lot of the Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Hanna-Montana? What?
He designed Hanna-Montana.
That was Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus designed Hanna-Montana?
Yeah, it's Miley Cyrus is Hanna-Montana. You didn't know that?
What?
It's his daughter.
No.
Next thing you're going to tell me, when she turned 18.
Can we talk about Saved by the Bell, please?
I was actually, I don't know if it was in a comic this week or something that said somebody had like the worst secret identity since Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
I forget what that was, but I vaguely remember that.
Read that this week.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Daredevil.
Daredevil, that's it. Oh, that's what I, you know what, Omega Effect.
That's great.
Can Spider-Man stop calling him Magoo?
Yeah.
I mean, he is overusing that. I don't know what the issue is.
I like it.
I like it, but it's just like every minute he calls him like, oh, Magoo this, Magoo that.
That's why I think it's awesome. It's so painful.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines was from that when I think it was Spider-Man. Yeah, Spider-Man said to him, oh, Frankie, I see you start dating again.
Yeah. I mean, God.
That was good.
That's the best Spider-Man dialogue.
I was going to say, yeah, that's what I love about Spider-Man. I love when he is just the most annoying person ever. Like, he's a nice guy, but don't give him any slack because he was mercilessly make fun of you. Like, he will have an impromptu roast. And he will web up like a little roast.
And somehow, he's like the guy that can get away with saying that.
Exactly.
The smell of Wolverine and how hairy he is.
Yeah.
My one problem with that book, the end of it was very unclear. It makes more sense when you read Daredevil this week, but the end of Punisher, I just remember reading going, what happened? What's going on?
Now, was Punisher supposed to be the end of that?
No.
Was he shot?
No, it was avenging.
He was. Because
they had like a blood splatter, but they never showed
when
like
it said
anything
as he's
happened?
Doing something and all of a sudden he's diving. It was just, the art was poor storytelling.
I thought he like fell off of there. Like, I didn't know who shot him. Like, I didn't know there was blood until you look really close and you can see like a little bit of blood splatter.
Yeah, was the artist on that?
Chichiro or something?
Marco Chichetto?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All in all, it's not horrible, but it's
no,
not
but I thought
like
the storytelling of the art was poor at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I like his art, sometimes just.
Well, he does Daredevil, too, this week.
I do like how he's trying to destroy these organizations, like, using themselves to destroy themselves.
Yeah.
Then again, he's not going to accomplish that because who's going to kill off Hydra and all these organizations?
We'll cut off one head, two more will rise.
Yeah, he can't win.
Yeah, Hydra.
Donnie, what'd you like? Since you're being awful quiet and that's really not allowed.
Well, you already covered X-Force. I already covered Batman.
And that's all you read. Okay.
I'll get back to you.
Anyone else?
Can we talk about Batman Inc. for a minute?
Oh, no.
Yes, we can.
Sorry, we're in the X-Men. I thought the ending to that should have been the opening to the whole original Avengers versus X-Men thing. I thought it was handled better in that.
It was after I read Avengers, and I was very disappointed with Avengers just as far as an AVX tie-in. But then I read that one, and I thought it was great.
You know, what's funny is people coming into the shop will grab the Avengers issues and put the X-Men issues back. I don't understand. It's like Avengers versus X-Men, but they don't want the X-Men issues. Like. And if, you know, the
nobody likes Cyclops.
And the Wolverine and the X-Men's been like the best of the crossover. So
do you think Cyclops is gonna become a bad guy?
No.
Like, or at least he is the bad guy of this.
I'm kinda hoping there's some like, you know, really bad explanation for why.
Or do you think they're just gonna really break him in this?
He's inhabited by
then he's just gonna leave.
Or sinister, it's like a sinister thing or an apocalypse thing.
Cyclops as a villain, it would be even more. You could take him as a character like that, like you would take Magneto at his best.
Yeah.
You know, like there were points where Magneto was like relatable, and even if Cyclops went so far, he still would be more relatable than, you know, Magneto.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly, I think
they're beyond good and bad right now. Like they're not about like. You know, the things they do, like, they don't solve crimes and stuff like that because, or stop, you know, vampires because they want to make the world better. They're doing it for PR.
Right.
Like, their motives are not altruistic at all.
No.
X-Men.
Nothing good they do is.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like the way they're setting this up, just about the only way it can end is with him dying. Either someone killing him or him sacrificing himself. I just don't see him coming out of this.
For me, the weird thing is there's one character who, for the last couple of years, has stayed completely silent and out of stuff, and it's weird now, and that's Professor X.
Yes. Yeah.
What the heck's up with him?
Where is he?
He's a Skrull.
Didn't he show up at the beginning of Wolverine the X-Men kind of, and Wolverine was talking to him, and he kind of said, no, this is your thing.
Yeah
he's just like, whatever.
He just kind of shows up.
I thought he was
dead.
I thought he was on a Shi'ar ship with X-Men Legacy.
No, after X-Men Legacy, the last thing he was doing was saying he was going to take a less active role because he's with Legion.
All right, whose job was it to keep track of Professor Xavier?
Isn't Legion
Wolverine? Right?
it was Mark Carey.
I know he's around here somewhere.
He's become
the thing is, it's like,
maybe he's going to start a new Illuminati.
If the X-Men dig a little deeper...
Well, the Illuminati still exists.
Right. To what, Nick?
Cap's just in it now.
Well, if the X-Men dig a little bit deeper into their farm system, they can pull out people like Legion. And you want to talk about, like, you know, like, oh, okay, the Avengers have Thor. Who's going to go up against Thor? That would be my answer.
Yeah.
A techno virus.
Isn't Thor fighting Hawkeye on the cover?
Yeah, I don't know who's going to take out Hawkeye.
Like, oh, no, you're right.
He would smash him with his hammer.
Joe would be good against Hawkeye?
That makes sense.
Man.
No, but... Oh, good one. No, who's Hawkeye fighting? It's on a...
Cyclops?
No, it's...
No, Cap's
Colossus? No, it's Colossus.
He's, like, falling from the... He's up in the air. Darn it, I forget
Archangel?
Who it is. No, Daredevil's fighting Archangel.
Oh, that's right, I remember.
I thought Archangel was
is it Gambit? It might be Gambit.
With his ongoing series?
No, he's just... He's not dead, he's just...
No, they were trying to figure
who's
out from
Squirrel
the promo
Girl fighting?
Who Hawkeye was fighting.
That's the important thing.
Jubilee.
It might be
in Vampire Jubilee.
Not Vampire, just Jubilee. One's throwing squirrels, the other one's throwing light.
That I would buy. See, they're not bringing out stuff that people want to read.
I would buy a Squirrel Girl Dazzler romance book.
That sounds like a furry book.
As I say, that's even requires
well, we are in Pittsburgh, Nick.
Yeah, that's true. What is anyone at all excited about the Gambit ongoing series, Take 3?
I'll read it.
I don't know.
It's right up there with my excitement for the Hawkeye ongoing series.
Is there really going to be one of those?
Yeah, Matt Fraction.
Yeah.
David Aja.
Hey, we were just talking about Thor, and I thought of...
I like David Aja's art a lot.
What's it called? Ends of Earth. That Thor actually took Electro and... He threw him into space.
He channeled him into his hammer.
Yeah, he channeled him into his hammer and just like sent him up.
Isn't that killing? Is Thor allowed to kill?
He's up there with the wizard.
I don't even know.
Because the wizard supposedly is floating up there too.
But he's a god. Technically.
Yeah, mortals are below him.
But aren't the Avengers like don't kill anybody?
Well,
technically, he wasn't a person. He was a lightning bolt.
At that point.
Yeah. So.
Oh, it's not like he's going to be dead.
I guess as long as he maintains his electric charge and doesn't go into human form, he doesn't need to breathe.
Yeah.
Therefore, he can survive indefinitely in space.
I think that's how it works.
Yeah.
Quantum physics of comics.
I was going to say, you just logic that out. Way to go.
So that's Morrison. Dear Grant Morrison.
Yeah, dear Ms. Morrison. Please clarify for this.
It's like it's comic book.
There's a wormhole in outer space that his electricity triggered, and he went back to the Big Bang.
And then there was a bat, and it wasn't
and then he turned
bat
into Dr. Doom, because didn't Doom go to the bat?
That's great.
He's hanging out with the, what was the bridge of all realities, or...
It's called from Hickman's Callback. Oh, the...
And he grabs onto the hammer, and that's how he escaped hell.
Maybe
through the door. There was a door in outer space. He walked through it. Everything's
good. Maybe he's in the hammer. That, we're saving him up for storm.
We through so many other dimensions.
No, you saw the lightning. Could have been other lightning. He could be saving up as much lightning as he wants in that hammer.
There's like a thousand he's lightning saving strikes on the planet for sure.
Wouldn't it be cool if they tied this together with AVX while he's fighting the Phoenix? He uses Electro and shoots him out at the Phoenix. That would be funny.
He probably would have got caught.
Cole Bendis.
And then Nick Fury Jr. would call and say, good work, Thor.
So Nicholas.
I'm Nick Fury,
and cheese would go.
Because it's on my, cheese.
So Nick.
Agent Cheese.
Have they said what Bendis is doing after the Avengers?
No, X-Books, but I don't know.
No, he said it wasn't. He said it was even bigger than that.
I heard the rumor was
what's bigger than X-Men?
AVX2, I don't know.
Electric Boogaloo.
I think he might take out, like, a chief creative officer or something like that.
Isn't that what...
He's got to disassemble the X-Men.
Is that Quesada right now?
Or
no,
whatever.
Axel is.
Okay.
No, he's chief creative officer.
Oh,
that's what I was thinking, yeah. Because after they promoted... Marvel had their, like, counter-promotion of somebody. I don't remember. That was years ago.
Reefork got something, right? Editor in chief.
No,
janitor.
Yes, you got a new hat.
Who's beard
the
trimmer
in chief now?
Axel Alonso.
10-gallon hat.
I think he's right below Axel, whatever the title is.
Axel Rose.
I think he's executive vice president or something.
Yeah, Axel Rose. Yes.
What if Axel Rose was the editor in chief of Marvel Comics?
Nothing would ever come out.
He would be very upset, and he wouldn't show up that either.
Yes, please.
Saucer Country.
Yeah, you know,
I read the first one. I haven't read the second one yet.
That online.
That was a very good read. It's about a woman. She's like the first Latino governor of I forget what state, but she's running for president.
New Mexico.
Oh. And she's going to run for president. And right as the first issue ends, she tells her advisors, "I've been abducted by aliens."
Yeah, in the past. Yeah.
And then the second issue just goes. That scene in the doctor's office made even me kind of like. The doctor's like, "Have you had any intercourse lately?" I'm like, "What?"
But are they taking it in sort of like the creepy X-Files direction, or is it becoming more of a joke?
You don't know yet.
Okay, all right.
It's one of those where both of them seem equally plausible.
I see.
Yeah.
Where
and it's Paul Cornell, so I mean, it's interesting.
Right, yeah.
It's well written.
Yeah, because on the one hand, it's, you know, her parents were illegal aliens. And she's a citizen, she's running for there's a lot of, like, politics in it.
Right.
And then, you know, like Matt said, it's in New Mexico, Area 51.
Right.
She has, basically, at the end of the first episode, she has a weird, like, vision.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you don't know if she's, like,
really
lunatic or real aliens.
Right. And they hired this other guy to come in who's supposed to be an alien expert that has these two little digital people that just talk to him, like... And he's like looking out the window of a plane, and they're sitting on the wing of the plane talking to him. And he's like,
"Well, in the very first one, he's sitting. These people are saying, you know, there's something wrong." And he's looking down, and he sees them at the floor at his feet as he's looking down. And they're like, "Just tell him you're sane." I'm sane. You know, just going. This guy's.
But it's cool. Interesting and different to me, and I think that's why I like it.
Nice.
Yeah, that one and New Deadwardians.
That was good.
Were the best of the new Vertigo.
Yeah, I thought the preview of that was very interesting.
Thief of Thieves was good. 3 got even more interesting because it's not anything I expected. But
what is it?
It starts out as a book about the guy who's like the
master thief. Yeah.
But yeah, he's like the thief that everybody wants to be. Yeah. Like, and then he retires, and it's going into why he's retiring. And,
okay.
It's Kirkman's story with Nick Spencer writing.
Right. Yeah, I read the first issue,
and I like it so far.
Cool. That's another thing I heard got Kirkman optioned that for another AMC series.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Shocking.
I know.
I was here on Saturday. I had 4 people come in asking for number one.
Oh, there you go.
They saw on TV that it was
Thief of Thieves.
Going for $100 on eBay.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so come here and buy it for $3.
We don't have first print anymore, do you? So speaking of Kirkman and Walking Dead, mm-hmm. I'm reading more and more of this. How are they going to put some of this on TV?
Like I don't even know. I said the same thing. Oh, God.
The governor, McCone, is that how you say Michonne. Her name?
Uh-huh.
How say it?
Michonne.
Michonne. How do you put that on TV?
I guess careful. They don't have to show a lot. They just have no, to imply that it happened.
Well, I mean,
because you can do that, but you can't actually show it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they've done on the TV show already that's pretty graphic for, I mean, it's cable television.
They shot a little kid.
Primetime cable television. For a deer. Pretty graphic, yeah. I mean, the first 10 minutes of the first episode, he executed that little kid at the gas station.
But I do like that I'm reading the book, reading the comic, even after watching that, and I'm still going, what's going to happen?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, I'm still saying that to myself, and I'm still interested, and I'm at, like, issue...
About both, or just about the book?
Well, there's no TV...
Well, but I mean, are you still interested in the TV show?
Watch
you know, but a lot of these AMC shows go past a little bit what other channels would. Like, even Mad Men does that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because they can, like I said, they're capable.
Yeah, they've had a lot of language on Mad Men lately.
Yeah.
I
don't know. I would have.
A lot more they usually have in different
seasons.
Wouldn't
this have been interesting, more interesting if it was HBO or Showtime?
Oh, God. And they would just cut nothing out.
Or Cinemax. I mean...
Yep.
Yeah, but more people have that.
Well, that's true.
Donnie, you come up with anything yet?
Saga.
Okay.
I only read it because Comixology told me to, and I'm a sucker for peer pressure. But...
Oh, okay. I gotta get talk to them a little more. Yeah.
I was just looking for something new, and that turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah, that's a little. There's some demented.
Oh, it's different.
The end of 2 was like.
What? It's actually kind of vintage Brian K. Vaughan.
Yeah, I haven't read a lot of his stuff.
He goes to places like that.
I was a new to me.
That's, yeah, I haven't.
You ever read Why?
It's in my stack.
I don't get in too much into anything beyond DC and Marvel. So anytime I can look for something where it's like something new, I'm more than willing
why
to try.
The Last
it.
Man, that was his big book that you know he made his mark with. That one's
actually. If you like Marvel and DC, like superhero books, America's Got Powers is great.
Yeah,
I mean it's a very interesting take on the superhero genre. Yeah.
If you like Abbott and Costello routines, you should read Why the Last Man. Who read Why? What? Why? It's a great book.
Take that away from him.
Like in Saga, how he'll be having like an actual. Genuine character moment, and then suddenly a lady with no arms and a creepy voice shows up, and you know,
yeah, that was like
he did stuff like that in Why, where you get sucked in by the actual character drama, and then something really bizarre, like out of left field,
the whole
will happen.
Killing your
and,
kid to survive,
don't say left field either. Like,
what I thought was really twisted in that book
was
in Why,
as opposed to
Saga.
Chewing the umbilical cord.
Wow, I didn't read issue 2. That's
the way
direction.
I took
I
it
was
it was pretty much Fiona?
Yeah.
It was pretty much her thing, and he kind of just took hers, all her ideas and everything and ran with it.
Oh, really?
But so it's pretty much the... I mean, I don't know for sure. It's just from the little snippets I've read.
Yeah,
but I mean, the way he's written it, like it's very Brian K. Vaughan, like his other stuff. He has his writing style. It's like,
his Mystique run was good. Yeah, if you like
really
Mystique and superheroes, Mystique, there's an ultimate collection.
Yeah, he did like 12 issues of that. Cool. That was actually really good. I didn't read the McKeever stuff, but his was good.
I'm not a huge McKeever fan.
But yeah, that saga, it's been phenomenal so far. I can't wait to see where that one goes.
Yeah, for for just a shot in the dark, I'm really liking it.
Yeah. Well, I read the first issue. It's really imaginative. Mm. And something about the way he mixes the really weird off-the-wall fantasy sci-fi stuff with really normal conversation.
Yeah, well, that's really what I mean. Like even in Y, he did. Yeah. He did stuff like that where he has these really bizarre, out of left field situations that are
like the guys with the TVs.
Yeah,
I thought that was really fascinating. They're like TV robot and or something.
The assassin chick.
Yeah. Well, I was really fascinated by the character towards the end of the first issue, the bounty hunter, and he goes and sees and that guy was.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
The bounty hunters with the agents.
Yeah. And didn't he have a really normal name compared to everybody else, too?
Yeah. And I like, too, the guys with the TVs. They go through the first episode with just blank screens and most of this one. And then when the guy got mad, all of a sudden something showed up on the screen.
Oh, that's cool.
That was a neat effect.
Kind of affected him when he was with the other TV. I don't know, bad memories or what, but something, yeah.
Yeah.
Flashed across the screen and kind of shut him down.
But I wasn't expecting that 2-page spread with the assassin lady. Like, when they were just standing there talking, and then you flip the page, and...
Yeah, there's this...
She's unleashed, as it were.
I see.
It's worth flipping through for that.
Did you buy 2?
I didn't.
Are you going to now?
I don't know, I might think about it.
I recommend it.
Nick, what did you like last week?
I liked Venom a lot.
Wow.
I thought the book, it was a good one-and-done story, but it still touched on a lot of stuff that's happened before. The art was good. It had the human fly in it, which, how do you beat that?
Cool.
You know, I really think with Remender, when he's not forced into tie-ins or events like that Circle of Five or Spider Island, that book is phenomenal.
It was a really good issue.
Yeah, I mean, I love every one of those books that didn't involve Spider-Man or Venom or Fear Itself.
Or Venom?
Or not Venom, sorry.
That's crazy.
Ghost Rider.
Which is a really good ending, right. And... you know, it was very action oriented, but it felt like it felt like this is a character. This is a story that only can be told through, this Venom.
Yeah,
I thought it was really good. I mean, the X-Men issue I thought had vampires in it.
Woo!
So,
how does Victor Gishler still have a job?
He's only on that book for, one more issue.
He's got photos of somebody.
And then they're going to, I think I heard it's switching to Brian Wood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a big change.
Yeah, it's like, well, how does Rob Liefeld have a job? Like, you just have to ask yourself.
How is he getting more and more work?
Yeah.
Photos.
Nick, do you read Brian Wood's Conan?
You know, I don't. That's a Brian Wood book I don't read. I should, though.
I've never read Conan. I picked up issue 1. It's been pretty decent. It's kind of a strange opening arc. Like, there's this pirate. I've known nothing about Conan other than the Arnold movie. but he's on a ship with these pirates who have rescued him. Then they basically come across a, female witch of the sea who attacks it. And rather than, kill her like he's supposed to, he ends up falling in love with her and
that happens,
turning his back on these guys that saved him, and now he's her thrall.
That's kind of cool.
What? No,
Red Sonja.
No, this is they keep calling her a witch, so I think she's some type of witch demony supernatural thing, but Conan's been the first man that she hasn't submitted.
But Conan does what
to her. Yeah, well, basically that's what it is. He does that, and it makes her fall for him. So
yeah, that,
very different.
I've bought the first 3 issues. I just haven't gotten to them in the pile yet.
From what I understand, it's more in line with some of the Howard stuff than others. But
is it in movie continuity though?
No, but it does have
Roy Thomas stuff. That's it.
It does have the awesome Becky Cloonan on art.
Oh, the art's fantastic.
His name's going to change to Nick Fury.
Wait, she's going to be Mrs. Nick Fury?
His name was always.
Well, it's not Conan anymore.
It's always. It was on his birth certificate. They called him Marcus for absolutely no reason.
Well, maybe he was in witness protection.
And they gave him a goatee. Not real, it sticks on.
Ah. It's a bald wig.
And his buddy Cheese.
You know, Ultimate, I think it was Ultimate, had Nick Fury disguised as 616 Nick Fury one time.
Well, really?
I think that was before Ultimatum, yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
Oh, did he? Wow. Really?
That was what? Ultimate Power, didn't they? I thought they switched their Nick Furies.
Well, I think that's when he came back from off into that universe.
I thought Ultimate Power, though, was the Supreme Power.
Yeah.
Was there
Nick Fury? He, like, took off his
mask.
Yeah,
but it was...
Like,
it was
Nick Fury.
Yeah.
They crossed over a bunch of times.
They traded.
Because I know there was a little bit of a glitch. I think the first time Nick Fury appeared in Ultimate Universe in general was in Ultimate X-Men, and he didn't really quite look like Sam Jackson.
No.
Did you see... I saw a very brief thing. I didn't read it, but apparently there's a similar brouhaha to, you know, what we're making of this Nick Fury thing with the...
You mean this joke?
Ultimate Spider-Man thing that Bendis is doing, because apparently, like, 5 or 10 years ago, Joe Quesada made some comment that he said there will never, ever be an Ultimate 616 crossover. If we resort to that, that means we've officially run out of ideas. He said we've run out of ideas and we're all hacks.
I went and found it, and he did, in fact, say that.
He's right.
And so now people are saying, you know, Joe, does this mean you've run out of ideas and you're a hack? And it's like, whoa, guys.
It's a house of ideas. You can't run.
I think what it is that... And I was saying this before the podcast, that they did Ultimatum, killed off most of the universe that they had, because they wanted to do this, because they based the movies on the Ultimate Universe. So they killed off the universe and made their main universe into the Ultimate Universe.
I think they based the movies on a hybrid. I mean,
but I
the movies are very much,
because the Iron Man is very much 616 as opposed to Ultimate.
I read an interview with Kasaka.
They haven't really went into Ultimate Iron Man is, because the Ultimate Iron Man books don't count.
Yeah, they got retconned.
About the quote, Kasaka did this quote, you know, and he said, it was in 2005, and what, am I not allowed to rethink my positions? It's such a strong position. Like, if it ever happens.
Right.
And then he gets there and he goes, well, I mean, I can change my mind.
What, you guys thought I was serious back then? Come on.
That was a joke.
Come on, I said dead is dead once, too. Come on.
Very true. Very true.
And I said this event was, 7 years in the making.
What a t-shirt that says that.
It obviously took a couple of days to think up a 4-issue mini.
Yeah.
How you ordered that one, Paul?
What?
Spider-Man.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
5, 10, 20?
No, probably like 20.
20? That seems like a lot for Marvel.
Well, you figure Spider-Man selling 40, Ultimate Spider-Man selling 15.
They'll somehow get in the USA Today, and then it'll sell like crazy because it's
the
top book.
The first black character ever in a Marvel book. Oh, we mean a first black Spider-Man ever in a Marvel book.
Well, don't forget about Nick Fury. Oh, wait, never mind. He used to be white.
T-shirt. His name was always
kind of bitter. I can't tell.
Should make that shirt.
You can't go back to saying that we're just mad because he is a black Nick Fury, because I would be equally upset if Luke Cage all of a sudden became white.
I don't even care about
what about
that?
Ultimate.
I just,
if it ever happened,
they introduced
I'm just throwing
him as
that
Marcus
out there.
Johnson.
Right.
They didn't introduce him as...
Well, he was first introduced in issue 1, and all of a sudden in issue 6, it's like,
Like, that's honestly my thing. I could care less if they want to incorporate the movie stuff in, because the Coulson thing doesn't...
You know what?
It's quite literally, they introduce this character, his name is Marcus Johnson, and give him this backstory, and then on the last page...
Oh, by the way.
Like, by the way, your birth certificate...
Nick Fury,
and they even mention what, birth certificate?
Well.
His birth certificate says that he is Nick Fury.
Well, so he went into witness protection, and he called him Marcus Johnson.
He wasn't...
Witness protection
was in the Army.
Although, as
Adam pointed out, going from Cheese to Agent Coulson is a bit more bizarre.
Well, he was always Cheese Coulson.
We didn't always know that his name was Coulson, unless it said it on his Army uniform in the first season.
I see now why
he
goes by
Army.
Agent.
Yeah. But they... the thing is, I think this would have worked. I think it was just poorly executed.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. They could have done it.
I mean, the ending... I mean, that was just bad writing right there. I mean, it just seems silly.
Who's writing that? Cullen Bunn?
Yeah, so
oh, I'm doesn't matter. Hawkeye.
It doesn't matter. According to Joe Quesada, they're all hacks anyway.
That was funny because I only had two Cap and Hawkeyes for the shelf. And I'm like, oh, I may have underordered that. Yeah, a whole lot made it back to the shelf.
How many? Oh, did a lot of people say, I kept I'm on, done baby. With this?
Jeez, who did that?
I want to read me some Balding Hawkeye in the Savage Land.
They're fighting venom symbiote dinosaurs.
Symbiote dinaurs.
What do you mean, balding Hawkeye? I don't know.
Yeah, on the cover.
He's got little widow's peak going on.
I can't right, say Cap and Bucky.
His ultimate like, Hawkeye has the buzz cut.
I like no, Cap and Bucky.
Not ultimate.
I don't understand why this team-up book didn't become its own thing. And why Cap just didn't continue.
Why do we have two of them?
Well... And the other
there
thing,
was a movie.
The other thing,
they
like,
did a new no,
there
one.
Is. Yeah. While we would have never known that there was why a movie, you know what I mean? Books.
Well, you know the other thing that legitimately kind of makes me wonder about this Nick Fury thing is if he is the new Nick Fury. Honestly, now what function, use, or role does the Ultimate Universe serve?
None.
Like they've kind of transitioned so much of the stuff. To the 616.
They basically
well, that, the Spider-Man thing. It seems like that's the only successful thing to come out of there lately. And it's, well, we're so just going to axe the universe.
I didn't
now.
Read it all from the beginning, so I don't know what all the great Ultimate Spider-Man stuff was. But what I have read was all felt like all old 616 stories rehashed.
A lot of it was at the beginning.
Well, yeah, you're talking about the original.
I'm
when
talking
they
about
did
all of Ultimate.
Oh yeah,
all of it. Well, everything Spider-Man. I've ever read has been rehashed 616 stories.
I liked it because it was something you know when it. Came out, you know, I was probably in high school or
the
a little
first
bit younger
arc,
when it
the,
came out.
The first
that I liked it because it was a
was rehashed 616. Yeah. However, as you got deeper, Mark Miller, Brian Bendis started to tell stories with the characters in a different way. Okay,
but they were the same stories.
He told interactions. He told character interactions. Stories about the way that Wolverine and Cyclops interacted that you would have never seen in the 616 universe.
When it started. You read Spider-Man not because it was so much new, but because of the voice that Bendis gave teenage
yeah,
Peter.
Yeah, I've heard the original Ultimate Spider-Man, like the first 50 issues or whatever, are great.
Yeah,
it's one
Ultimate
of those
Mark Miller's to read. Mark Miller's Ultimates and Ultimate X-Men were much more of the radical
Ultimates.
Just
crap.
Yeah.
The main reason why
well,
they brought out the
Ultimates was good. Ultimates 2 and 3 was crap.
Ultimate Wolverine threw Cyclops off a cliff, let him to die. Then went home and tried to hook up with Jean Grey.
By the way, that was two years later.
That
never would have happened in the 616.
Are you saying he wouldn't do that in the 616?
No.
I think
part one, part two, and then two years later, three and four came out.
Was that Jeff Loeb writing?
I don't remember.
Jeff Loeb or Mark Millar?
Here's the thing about
whatever.
Mark Miller.
Yeah, that's right. It was Mark Miller.
Here's the thing about Ultimates that I think is that it started it as a way... to do things different from 616, but at the beginning, I don't think they really knew how to do that because they had to reestablish the characters because the whole line was for a teenage audience. This is for kids who, you know, they watch the cartoons, but, you know, let's just give them an entry point with younger characters that they can identify with. So Peter Parker's in high school, you know, the X-Men are younger, they're, you know, Cyclops isn't 30, he's probably in his, like, mid to late 20s.
And Mark Miller definitely embraced the whole do whatever you want.
He did.
More than Bendis did.
But even to that point, there was, really wasn't a whole lot new. I think the stuff after Ultimatum has been a lot fresher. I haven't read a lot of it, but just from what I've heard, and especially right now with what...
Did you read the first page of an article online that told you that, or...
No, I've been reading synopses and.
Oh come on, that was
happening.
A joke. Nobody.
I'm
really acknowledged
no,
it.
I just didn't know. How
especially
to take
Colin.
It. So, but
I don't know what you're talking about.
I've been hearing a lot of what Hickman's doing on Ultimates right now, and it sounds really awesome. And I feel like that's a book that I should go back and take a look at because that's what I wanted Ultimates to be.
I think
I really like the old Ultimates stuff,
and
I fell out of it, and now I feel like that's something.
I think it could be that you know that. Frankly, I just don't want to get into it mainly because they killed off the entire universe that I was reading about, and then
all the books.
I don't want to jump into it because
so
they have
DC,
pretty much. I mean,
books.
Ultimate. Well, point see, but that's the thing. I wasn't reading DC at the time.
You know, it turns me off on the Ultimate.
So it switched
right
me
now.
Right over. So I now had something to read.
Is I feel like of all of Marvel's $4 books, the Ultimate books feel like they give you less story. I don't know why. I don't know why that is. It's
I don't,
probably,
I, yeah, they
but it's like
do.
When
They've
I was getting
kinda...
Ultimate X-Men and Ultimate Spider-Man, I felt like I was getting less than even the regular books.
Well, I don't. I could not see myself reading Bendis's Ultimate Spider-Man in single issues because I would feel like the story is just crawling. Even sometimes in the trades, I felt like the story crawled, but that's just my take on Bendis's writing style. He just writes very slowly.
Yeah.
And I think Bendis and Johns write a lot alike.
Oh, they do.
And yeah, yet you can finish the trade in like 15 minutes.
Somehow, yeah. I don't know.
See, that would be my problem with reading The Walking Dead in single issues. Like, you can, some issues take you like 10 minutes to read, some take like 3.
Yeah.
Like, I'm reading an issue and it's like, oh, it's over?
Yeah. But back to Adam, you and I were talking about this before we started recording about what's the difference between Marvel taking ideas from the Ultimate Universe and putting them in the main universe and DC rebooting completely. Yeah, and at what point does changing the characters stop being a function of the story and start being a function of the business and making money? And I think they're both sort of tied together. I mean, the DC reboot and, you know, making the regular Marvel Universe more identifiable with the movies is, they're both business decisions. I think it just, to fans especially, I think it comes off more of how they go about executing it and how they go about advertising it to the fans, because it seems like Marvel, not that they even need to, but Marvel hasn't said like, oh, by the way, we're going to incorporate this from the movies now, or, you know, Sam Jackson Nick Fury is going to be regular Nick Fury. That's just the way it's always been. Whereas DC, it was more of a,
I think, nice enough to say, hey, we're going to blow it up and restart it.
Right. Earlier I had used the phrase that they used the, you know, they used the tropes of the medium. They used a time travel alternate dimension story to physically alter the timeline, whereas Marvel is just sort of grandfathering it in, even though it's not the old thing, it's the new thing. They're like great grandsonning it in or something.
Well, and I think the problem DC had was they didn't do a complete reboot. They did a selective reboot.
They did.
Yeah. And I think that's what hurt them.
I don't even know if it's hurting it. I know we've been discussing this online.
Like, I won't say hurt, but I think fans would have been more comfortable if we knew what counted, what didn't, or they did a complete reboot and said, this is it.
I think with DC, they did the reboot that would be most popular. They did the reboot that was going to bring lapsed fans in, and they were going to do the they did the reboot that would sell a lot of books, get people buying books. They did the reboot that they should have done in 1986. If they would have done something really risky or really experimental, like actually started writing the books for digital or something even more forward-thinking, you might get like a naysayer like Matt Lytle to say they did something right. But like as it is, I mean, they are selling more than they once did. What's going on?
Nick's making faces at us.
Okay.
Cool-headed comic book fans.
Yeah. I don't. I'm not saying they did anything wrong. I just didn't do.
Well, it's turned into something.
They didn't do it the way I would have done it.
Uh-huh. How would you have done it?
Either a complete reboot or have a some sort of established things that happened.
You mean like if I would have done like it, even Batman, everything, just
Batman
everything square one,
Bruce Wayne, but. I would have not acknowledged any historical events.
If I would have done it, I would have jettisoned 42 of those titles and went down to 10.
See, you keep saying
and made
this.
No money in DC.
But see, I don't think that would upset more people. Like you said, that it hurt them not doing that. If they would reboot the whole entire universe, including Batman, I think you'd have more people complaining about that.
You could still.
So
have...
was Hal Jordan the Spectre?
See, those are the kinds of
that's a good question.
You want him to be Nick.
That was a good article on CBR last weekend.
Wasn't
it? Read that. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, but I think overall they made the majority of people happy.
Yeah,
there are going to be outliers like me and Nick who like to pick on stuff. But
I'm not, you know.
You hear that, Nick? You're an outlier.
My position is I get it, but they did everything to court people that aren't me. Which are more people, so
right.
I get.
Yeah.
Like, I might have done the same thing. However, I am the casualty, you know?
Yeah.
It's the reality. Do I need to be a casualty? You know, maybe. I mean, I bought every single issue of New 52 so far, so I don't know what a casualty I am. But, like, I'm upset about some of the changes enough that I'm going – this week or week nine or month nine, I'm going to drop some books. But is that enough? Probably not. So, like, I don't fault them for doing it. I just, like, I was invested very much in the continuity, and it's gone. So, right.
Yeah. But, and I'm just asking this, I don't really have an answer for this, but has the continuity actually changed, or is it just like DC has always been, that it's almost like multiverses?
Well,
that there's been other Superman and other Batman. How do we know this isn't another multiverse?
That's like the biggest problem, is they didn't tell it. That's like, so we're all left to sit around and speculate. And
I think they got into that problem when they announced Flashpoint, and I remember the tagline for Flashpoint was that it wasn't an alternate universe and it wasn't a time travel story, that it was the real universe that accounted. So that implies that they fundamentally changed Earth Prime. Well, I'm sorry, not Earth Prime, because that's where... Never mind. They fundamentally changed New Earth. And by fundamentally changing New Earth as the crux of the multiverse, you would change all the other multiverses. So that explanation doesn't really fix anything. Yeah. It just sort of exacerbates
the problem. Well, and I think, to Nick's point, it probably... They would have done better service to kind of do what you guys are saying and blow it all up and start over. Only because when they presented it, it was like, this isn't totally new. There's still a lot of stuff here.
They wanted to have their cake and eat it.
Yeah, but it's like you have people, you know, like Nick, who are obsessive about the community continuity, saying, well, what about this event? And what about this event? And they
It's like, I don't know how to read a book if I don't know the context.
Right.
Do you think that if...
Especially since some books kept going with no pause, whereas other books totally... you know, restarted from the ground up.
Do you think hardcore fans would appreciate a more just straight up reboot? Just all the way around. Like, blow it up, as you said. Start from square one.
Well, wouldn't it? Because then you get rid of all the continuity?
I mean, yes and no. It depends. If you say hardcore fans, that's like a vague thing. If it's people that want pure continuity that they totally can get from a perspective of ground zero, this is all, you know, I understand how this relates to this. Yes, if people that want, you know, that liked some elements of the DC, no, because they would have, everything would have been dead. Like, those characters are dead.
Yeah. I honestly think that the whole reboot would have been good, if for no other reason than getting all of those origin stories, whereas some of them were kind of origins, others were in media res, and others...
But really, you can't win.
No.
I mean, they're not going to win.
Because if they had done Origins for everybody, we would all be sitting here saying, why did they have to do Batman's origin again?
Yeah.
No, I mean, again, I don't think it was the wrong move. I mean, I really don't. Like, I get it. Like,
you just think on your part, it's a big change.
It just hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the DC universe prior to this was, their whole thing was built on the nostalgia of the universe.
Correct. And if you were a hardcore DC fan, you're a fan because of all of that, you know, stuff where you try to...
Exactly.
I would try to communicate stuff, stories, you know, and I would say, well, it's like Earth-S and Earth-X meets Earth-3. You just, like, people's eyes gloss over.
Yeah, and you use things like pre-crisis and post-crisis for...
Or post-Infinite Crisis you know, Superboy Prime, but, you know, you start saying these things to people who didn't read DC, and they would look at you like, this is why I don't read DC.
Write dissertations on Hawkman.
Right, yeah, the various Hawkman. God.
You know, and it is kind of funny that this is, in a way, this is the same reason why I kind of gave up on Ultimates. Because I got into it from the beginning. They killed off, you know, pretty well the entire cast that I was reading, Spider-Man, most of the X-Men, Professor Xavier, I mean, anybody. And I was like, what's the point? So I understand totally where this is coming from. It seems like it's kind of it hurts
a lot. They killed those characters.
Yeah.
And they replaced them with new characters in their costumes.
Yeah.
Now, that's okay if you like to, like, for instance, I like Miles Morales. Mm-hmm. So the death of Ultimate Peter Parker, to me, is fine because I get to read Peter Parker and other stories that I like too.
Yeah.
So for me, it's cool. But in X-Men, I don't care for any of the characters or what's left of them in the Ultimate X-Men book. So that I don't like.
Also, it's, you know, odd that as you said, they replace characters with basically just a new face, a new person.
Like Wolverine.
In a new yeah, Wolverine. Oh, it's Wolverine, but it's his son. He has claws. He has healing factor. Basically, what did you do here? What did you replace him?
His name was always Wolverine.
I forget his name.
It was just Ken.
I don't remember his name.
No, it's Jimmy.
Was that just
Jimmy? That's it.
I remember it being something generic.
Was that the 5-issue mini that took 2 years? Yeah.
Yes.
It just came out in paperback, I think.
His name was always Wolverine.
That's true.
I wonder if Nick Fury.
Let it go, man.
I wonder if Ultimate Nick Fury is going to turn into 616 with Nick Fury. That would be weird.
They're the same person.
Well, no,
they're going to switch.
Salt and pepper Nick Fury's going to head over there.
I have to say, set it up. They did the best thing that they did for Battle Scars is at the end.
Change the paper quality? Oh,
yeah,
I'm
that's
sorry.
The best part. They.
Wait till you feel it, Nick. It's like it was printed on toilet paper. And then one reviewer who didn't like the story.
It's so appropriate.
Yeah, one guy who didn't like the story said, and apparently it was used toilet paper.
Oh, Colin, don't quote yourself in
that. No, that was quoting Larry.
Says, the best thing that they did was they set it up so Nick Fury, if they would have killed Nick Fury off, I think that would have been a bigger deal. Because if this doesn't go over well, which I think,
it won't.
Nick Fury team up.
Nick Fury could just be like, oh, I found Infinity Formula.
And here's a question.
He's
do they already have LMDs made?
Who knows if these new guys aren't LMDs?
Wants too much
are they going to change the look of Max Fury?
Yeah, I don't know what that is going to be.
That'll be confusing.
He's the...
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Nick Fury.
Oh, and then we have Fury Max coming. I'm just ordering that right now.
Well, Fury's still out there. I guess if he wants
but
to do...
But are they changing that now?
Is Scorpio still out there?
What?
His brother, Scorpio?
I don't know.
I'm taking it that there's two Nick Furies in this universe. Because they're still going to have this one. This one's just S.H.I.E.L.D. But this Nick Fury is going to be doing whatever he's been doing after not being in S.H.I.E.L.D.
He got rid of Nick Fury for, 5 or 6 years after Secret War, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but he was in hiding.
You saw him once in a while.
He
comes out.
He's a different person.
Right, but...
six more weeks of winter.
But you got to keep him alive.
Oh, that's a groundhog.
Contract disputes, for Avengers 2 ever.
Wouldn't it be funny if they replaced him with an animal?
I don't think so. I think this one. Squirrel Girls did it.
They were like, the new Nick Fury is a duck.
Howard the Duck?
Crackers.
Oh, they can't do that. That's not creative now.
Nick the Duck?
A chicken. There you go.
Think about if, I liked your point, Jeremy.
Just switch birds.
Think about if they had switched Bruce Banner in the Marvel comics to look more like Eric Eric Banner. And then, that movie didn't work out, so now he has to look like Ed Norton. Well, now we're all mad at Ed Norton, so now he has to look like Mark Ruffalo.
Well, they're just short pants.
None of whom wear glasses.
Change their hair.
But it's not even looking like him. It's changing
but that's what I mean.
A little bit more. What if they,
he's
got to
look
sudden...
like Bill Bixby first.
Yeah.
Do you think after they were casted Nick Fury as, or Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury, he's looked at these Ultimate books and he's like, hey, what the hell, Where's my money?
No, I'm sure he knew about
here's
it.
Here's something that just occurred to me. This whole, everything we've been, this whole Nick Fury, character, is he white or is he black or is he Ultimate or is he regular? This whole thing spawned from one page in Ultimates number, 3 or whatever. It's just a normal Mark Miller trope where he makes his characters look like the actors he wants to play them in the movies he's pitching the comic for. Of the Ultimates sitting around saying who they would cast themselves as in an Avengers movie. And they just happen to say Sam Jackson. For Nick Fury, because that's the way he wanted Brian Hitch to draw him. One page.
Yeah.
Yep.
10 years ago.
And then Marvel scored the coup of the century by making it happen.
Thanks a lot, Mark Miller.
Was that really the
thanks for Civil War?
When did Ultimate Nick Fury first appear?
He first appeared in Ultimate X-Men, but he didn't look like Sam Jackson then. He looked like regular 616 Nick Fury, except he was black.
But he was James Bondy because he had the white tuxedo jacket.
But it was like the whole tuxedo jacket had all this tech in it, and they were all like, sir, if you remain invisible for 5 more seconds, you're going to cost the taxpayers $6 billion.
He's like, shuffle the budget around.
Make it happen. I don't care.
Yeah, Mark Miller.
Buy me 6 more seconds.
The first appearance of him was awesome.
Oh, it was great. He just infiltrated Weapon X like a boss, and was just. You guys keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to teleport out of here now.
He actually did stuff. He was more James Bondish, secret agent guy.
Ultimate X-Men was really good at the beginning.
Yes, it was. It's good. I liked it.
Well, on that
call
note,
it a day.
I think we'll call it a day.
All
right. So that was fun. We'll save. Maybe we'll save until Saturday. We'll save your recap of the convention.
Okay.
Totally here.
Yes, I will.
I don't know if you'll be here.
I will be here. We will have a wrench here.
What?
Be careful where you get your stuff signed.
What's that mean?
I mean, Stanley signs your crap wherever Stanley wants to sign. I got a poster I wanted to get framed, and like, well, you know, you were in the line. Like, they just take your crap, and like, I mean, they didn't ask or anything. It just slide it over to him. He'll sign it. He signed it right at the damn bottom of the poster, so the frame will cover it up.
Well, get it matted, so the frame won't cover it. Just get some white, some matting around it.
You know, bigger frames.
Yes,
custom matting.
Nick?
He'll need custom matting at that point.
Yeah,
but
jeez,
it's Stan Lee.
He's costing you more money.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Matt.
I remember when he was there 2 years ago, I said $40 was outrageous. So I paid $50.
You learned your lesson, didn't you?
I asked him to come on the podcast.
I'll not pay $60 in another 2 years.
Did he say Excelsior?
Yeah, they flew away.
Oh.
I wonder how we would have taken
We'll save the rest of this story till Saturday.
On that note,
we'll talk to you later.
See you, everybody.
Abilities in a single bound came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town, walk between billionaires and evil scientists, sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia, rocking any microphone that's near to ya, clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe, super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Like my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with the mother thing. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard and fund the Hellfire Society. Studio with Cerebro, mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets, demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drift's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock, when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Blob when I skip lunch, eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking presses of pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on